I can tell you who my guy is. He's a stud. He's a coach of the Sacramento Kings. It's been way too long since we've spoken. The one, the only, David Yeager. Coach, it's Dave. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you?
How are you, my brother?
Man, been too long. Good summer so far?
Yeah, go. Getting ready to have a little downtime, and see, the offseason gets long. You know, if you're not making the playoffs, it gets long. So we took a couple weeks off, and the guys are getting back in the gym and fired up about working, and now they've been working, and they're fired up about playing against somebody else and looking forward to summer league, and things get going faster now, so it's kind of exciting.
Coach, just off the bat, your thoughts as of yesterday, Marvin Bagley, the pick itself, and how it fits with your vision for this team?
I think, you know, he's talented. I enjoyed working him out in an individual workout. I enjoyed his personality, his work ethic, and what I really liked about him was, people are going to see the flash and the stuff like that, but he wants to learn. I showed him a lot of stuff that I think he hadn't considered before. Well, why would he? He's 19 years old. And he went to it. He made mistakes, and he fought through it. And he's like, no, let me try that again. I want to get that. And I think you love guys that love the gym and want to play. I think you get real nervous about having guys on your team who really don't like basketball. I mean, you know? So this is not that guy. This guy loves hoop, and it's going to be a joy to be around.
Coach Dave Yeager with us. Biggest knock on Marvin Bagley you read about is his defense. I would love to get your thoughts on that. And then also, you're a guy who, you know, going back to Memphis especially, that was they called him grit and grind for a reason. Do you feel like you're in a good spot, kind of like what you just mentioned, where you can take this guy, and if he does have deficiencies on defense, that you and your staff, he has that ability to turn that around and be proficient?
Yeah, I think they recruit pretty well there at Duke, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, he's got a couple All-Americans. You got some big dudes on the floor, and you know, he got to Duke late. You know, he reclassified late in the summer and went left high school when he could have stayed in high school another year. So you're talking about a guy who is in the mix and extremely talented. And as a coach, I can tell you, you want your best players out there, and you don't care what size they are or what they look like. Your best players should play. And so to that vein, you know, they played some zone. And so I don't think he's going to have a problem. He's extremely athletic. He's got long arms. He's bouncy. We looked at some video, you know, when he came in, I did the same similar work I did with De'Aaron, just kind of put him in a room, and it's, you know, video guys ripping off. And I'm thinking, you know, what are you thinking here? What are you seeing here? It's a little bit like, I don't know, John Gruden's quarterback
camp,
you know, that kind of stuff. And he really took to that, and you like guys that do that. And he's not a con. He's really genuine, and he wants to learn. And I think, you know, he's aware that that's being said. That doesn't ever drive any of us. But I think he has the tools to be a good defender. And the way that the league is going, you're going to have to guard small guys at times as well as big guys. And, you know, it's just going to take time and experience certainly for him, but I think he'll get there.
Coach, that's fascinating, especially the analogy you made with the Gruden QB camp, because that is what you see. Gruden will sit there, run through tape of the kid, and ask him what he's doing. And then I want to go back to what you said at the beginning of the interview, that he wants to learn and that he takes accountability. When you were doing that, is that part of what you saw, where you'd run things that maybe were mistakes? He's an accountable dude, and he understood what those mistakes were?
Yeah, when I you get one of those top guys in there, I don't know. Personally, I don't like doing a beauty show, and I've done those before. I can make somebody look pretty good, and you know, hide. And I made him pretty uncomfortable. And halfway through the workout, he has his hands on his knees, and I just said, you know, I don't care if you make a shot or not. And he's like, what? I'm like, I'm not running you in this stuff. I'm trying to make you very uncomfortable, and I'm looking to see what you got in your heart and what you got in between your ears. And he was like, the light bulb came on. Man, it was fun. You know, it's like, it kind of took the stress off for him. And also, like, he fought through without me having said that, because I let it go for quite a while. And it was a really positive response. So I'm excited about having a young guy who, you know, they want to be good. And everybody says they want to be good, but you can see it. He's got the drive.
Mike Tyson once said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the mouth. So in a situation like that, as a coach, is that kind of what you're looking for? I think you kind of said that when you're running a guy through and you didn't tell him for a while what you were doing, you're looking for him to break, you're looking for him to get an attitude, you're looking for – are you trying to pull any flash out of him to see if that's going to be a warning sign in game 36?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, you want to, I think, you know, find out what's in his chest and go away, or, you know, grab your hamstring, or, I'm not feeling good today. And he fought, and well, I didn't kill him. You know, I mean, you know, run him down.
Right.
I got into him pretty good, and I didn't try to break it down, but I wanted a response, and he responded very, very well.
Coach Dave Yeager with us. Coach, when we have the, you know, this is we've had these conversations before with draft picks and during summer, and I will always try to stay away from. I feel like you've made it clear in the past. You've got a palate. You don't know all the paints yet. You got to get these guys into camp, et cetera, et cetera. I try to stay away from X's and O's. The big question that you hear, though, and that you've been asked since the draft, everybody's so excited with Harry Giles, and I've heard nothing but great things, and I know you don't want to put a ton of pressure on him. But when you look at Bagley and you look at Giles, two guys very similar height, weight, obviously Duke guys, do you see a situation where they'll be able to coexist on the floor? Is there any repetition there, or is that not a worry for you?
It's I think, something that you definitely comes up. At the same time, they're very different. I think Harry is more of a power guy, big hands, rip rebounds, and Bagley is also a terrific rebounder, but different. Very good second jumper. He's got more. He's a little bit more wiggle. Offensively, he's more a little bit more perimeter. Harry is a face-up guy, but is also an excellent post guy. But he's more of a power guy, and so they're definitely different. I think you're going to see, you know, as time goes on, it's going to come out in the wash, because guys that they're going, the cream rises to the top, and so how can they play together in this NBA? Because they can, because they're different. You know, you play them at 4 or 5, or you know, however you try to figure it out. Down the line, though, you know, you're talking about two guys who are playing their first year of NBA basketball.
Right.
So it just takes time to whittle it out. And, you know, you've got some other guys there. Right. And so it should be good competition, but I don't want a kind of competition between a bunch of young guys. I want to grow. I want each guy to feel like, you know, he's, every day he comes to the gym, he's getting better, and he is embarking on his 10 or 12 year career. Whether he be Scal, who's now in his third year but hasn't played a ton of basketball throughout the course of his life, still a young player, and so you just try to figure it out.
Coach Dave Yeager with us. A couple more questions here. Going into next year, you've had to be in your career very malleable, whether you were in the G or D League, Memphis with all the injuries last year, a ton of youth, and you look up, you know, you hear the knocks. Oh, coach doesn't like to play young guys. End of the year. Well, they've played more minutes with young guys than any other team in the NBA. Do you find yourself maybe needing to adjust next year? Is there a different level now? Are you preparing now that a lot of these young guys are in their second year? Do you go to a different gear, or do you try to keep things consistent with them and your vision? I'm just trying to figure out which way that works.
Yeah, it's half of a step further than a straight development situation, because we're still wanting to develop a whole bunch of young guys at the same time. So I think, you know, when you get into your third and fourth year, though, as a player, that's when you kind of, you got to show that you're making strides. And so certainly we have, you know, guys in that are De'Aaron and good four guys, right, last year, but Harry didn't play. So, you know, we're going to have two first-year guys this year and three second-year guys. And so you want to see strides in those guys, but yeah, if you're in your third or fourth year, that's where guys start, got to make that jump and show, you know, the world and certainly the rest of the league and most importantly our organization that, hey, you know, this is a guy that we got to keep here for the next 10 years.
And last thing, coach, and this is just kind of a philosophy question, but again, it helps answer some of the questions out there people have. As a coach, do you tend to lean towards, I'm Coach Dave Yeager, this is my philosophy on playing basketball, this is how we're going to win ball games, and these are the parameters? Or do you shift that depending on your roster, its athleticism, its youth, its age? Do you try to get them to fit your vision, or do you more try to get your vision to fit them, if that makes sense?
Yeah, no, it's a good question, and very fair. I think, you know, there's coaches who have a certain style, and it's been successful for them. And I have some principles that have been successful for me, but coming through the minor leagues and then your team always changing, you know, you might lose players in the middle of the season. You have to change gears to play a little bit different ways. That's the most successful way you can play for your team. And then in Memphis, you know, we played a lot of three out, two in power basketball because that was the strength of our team. And when they were young, we were trying to be a running team with a young OJ Mayo and a young Rudy Gay and a young, you know, Mike Conley. And we, you know, had some different fours that were runners. Okay. So then we got Zach Randolph, Marc Gasol got older and we started, you know, we're kind of the NBA's knuckleball, but that was what was best for us to win. And so now you're in a situation. I talked about this with Coach K from Duke yesterday. I said, you know, last year I really spent a lot of time trying to teach guys how to play, our young guys, while still keeping games close and trying to keep games close at the end where we could win with our veterans. And Zach Randolph lost a lot of games last year. We won a lot of close games after that, after we went really, really young. And so now I think you start putting stuff in that, you know, what does it look like if you're playing Marvin Bagley and Harry Giles if Harry rises? You start now, I think, putting in for what do you want to be about for the next 5 years? And I think you start laying those tracks down, and we'll spend the rest of the summer putting that together.
That's Coach Dave Yeager. Coach, I'll end with this. The narrative was out there yesterday. A national writer was talking about, or a national TV guy was talking about the locker room. And I just want to say, and you tell me I'm stupid here because I know you will, you had to tell veteran players, in fact, one of which is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer, before the All-Star break, you went out and said, we're probably going to sit a vet or two every couple games. There were all kinds of potentially horrific things, losing that, other things that could have turned that locker room sour. You're not a liar, Coach, so I'll ask you. I mean, I didn't hear a peep out of that locker room. In fact, everything I heard was that locker room was amazing. People truly loved each other. And I think that happened under what could have been a very challenging situation that could have gone a much different way if you guys didn't have that stability. Am I reading that right?
Yeah, was somebody saying something different? I don't know. I don't read a lot of that stuff, but it is. You know, I think we had to do it the year before, also after the DeMarcus trade.
Sure.
And I think what players appreciate is players want to hear the news. Tell me the news. Don't not tell me because you think you're going to hurt my feelings. You got to be upfront with them, and I've always been that way. But also have very good communication with players, and so here's the news. I'm just reporting it to you. You may not like it, but I'm telling it to you, versus not knowing. A player who doesn't know is always going to say, you know, they didn't know, and that makes everybody look bad. So we had solid leadership. We had good people. Garrett Temple is one of the strongest guys in the locker room and a real glue guy for us. We're going to find out shortly what his option is. And then we have good young guys, too. We do have character guys. And so now the thing is that, we're still a little bit in the honeymoon of, you know, guys are in their first and second years and they're, you know, hee hee and ha ha. And, you know, but now it starts getting competitive here, you know, towards the end of this year and into next year where it can, you don't want it to be a cannibalized situation, but this starts getting serious. This is people's careers now and you need to start showing. And sometimes those things can get tense. And so, you know, you always want to be communicating and what's best for the team is always what's best. And that has to just be driven home every single day. But, you know, if you're in a culture and you're building a culture of communication and hard work, and we're not going to grind these guys down without having fun doing it. You know, we have fun coming to the gym. You come to game 81 shoot around, and we're doing defensive drills. I don't know that you can get away with that in a lot of situations, but because of the way that we're built and we work hard and we have fun doing it, we're able to do that. So I think it's very positive. Our culture is positive and we're going to stay positive and presidential and keep getting better.
That's Coach Dave Yeager. I don't know how you do it, Coach. Every single year you come in, you look more and more like a GQ model. You might be getting I don't know what the off-season diet is. brother, you're going to get your second straight photo shoot this year. I don't know what it is, man. But
it's a lot of off-season cribbage, baby. A lot of off-season cribbage games.
Why don't you stop ducking me on cribbage, by the way? Are we ever going to get that down?
I love it.
I might have to get online. Oh, it's great.
We'll see you in Sacramento, and we'll see you in Las Vegas. Looking forward to it, Coach, and thank you for your time.
Yeah, it's going to be a fun summer, and the Sacramento Summer League, I think that's just a fantastic deal for our community, and we're looking forward to it, and then from Vegas to Vegas from there. So we'll be seeing you, brother.
All right, you're the man. Take care, Coach.
Thanks.
That's Coach Dave Yeager.